What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi. Are you having a stroke?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy. Welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Sully Saw. What's going on in your pre St. Paddy's Day parties?
Oh, I had a great time this weekend, guys. I had green drinks, celebrating with friends, making new friends. Things are coming back to normal in PA, but we'll see for how long, because shit's around the corner. Now, let's get down to this, guys. Folks, more federal buildings burning, but they were mostly peaceful, so the media has been silent about them. Oh, yeah. Greatest military in history has gone woke, and our enemies are salivating at a chance to defeat us. Also, was Jesus Christ racist? According to new leftist preachers, he was. We're going to talk about that. The world is spiraling into idiocy, and we're here to cover it all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Show.com.
Whoa. What language is that?
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah,
we're a minute and a half into the podcast. And we already lost Timmy.
he's out of control. All right, let's talk about what's going on, guys. This week, more Biden gaffes. We're going to talk about that. He finally addressed the nation. Took no questions, but he addressed the nation. His policies and his what he's trying to do. This guy. He's going to take us into the next war. I promise you guys, the world is looking at us and salivating at a chance to defeat us. This is bad. All right, so let's first talk about what Antifa has done. There is a federal building. Tim, you were the one who sent me this information. Do you have any more details as far as what happened out there? Was it in Portland?
Yeah, in Portland. So, you know, our favorite city, Portland.
Yeah.
The Antifa hasn't stopped. So they decided now we're going to start attacking the federal buildings again. And they decided to set fires inside of it. Well, you know, they broke through the barriers and they're setting fires on the walls and shit like that.
Here's cops
going
that,
in, taking it out.
That you know,
media
like
doesn't cover it though.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this question because we had wall to wall coverage of the new rise of white supremacy when the Capitol, you know, they stormed the Capitol. They didn't burn, and the people that died were actual MAGA folks. And the media covered it as, like I said, the rise of white supremacy. Had you guys heard about this federal building?
No, not a word.
This reveals, and this is why I think the mainstream media has become the enemy of Western civilization. They will be the cause, one of the major causes for the demise and the loss of what we have, because they are not. They're not reporting the news and they're not being honest about what's happening. They have an agenda.
I guess Antifa, do they identify as wanting anything or they
anarchy.
Just want anarchy now? Cause I mean, wasn't the whole thing that Trump was a fascist and we had to get him out of office. Right. And now that he's gone, Antifa is just continuing to burn shit because they want to. Is that correct?
So this is the problem with Antifa. Antifa is anti-fascist. They're anti-America. They truly are. They love communism. That's why they always have the CCP and the USSR logos on their, you know, shields and everything. They stand for, they want to abolish the police. They want to abolish ICE. They want to abolish colonialism. Everybody's a racist. This is beyond anything. And people don't remember. In the Hillary days, okay, when Hillary was running in 2016, Antifa was showing up to the primaries and the debates, and they were causing ruckus even at the DNC after she got the nomination, there was fights between Hillary supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters. So Antifa, if Bernie Sanders was the candidate, they wouldn't be burning shit.
Antifa wouldn't.
No, they are Bernie bros. That's what people don't remember too. So they side more with the Bernie bros and the, you know, with Bernie than anything else.
You know, if you compare it to history, there's always a left wing extreme group that terrorizes the citizenry. This happened in Venezuela. It has happened throughout history. And they're not necessarily sanctioned by the government, but by proxy they are, or by inaction they are. They are just another arm of leftism, of these people who are in charge. Because what they do is they're thugs and they go after people while the news, the leftist news, ignores them. They're been completely ignored and they're terrorizing cities, folks. They're burning buildings. I thought burning federal buildings was wrong, but according to the media, it's only wrong if it comes from the right. And so, you know, we have to be aware of this and we have to look at how, you know, who mentioned this? God, I think it's Prager. I forget who mentions this, but if you look at what the left is doing today, they're taking their playbook is essentially Saul Alinsky's book, which was Rules for Radicals and what to do. And if you look at these leftist groups, they are doing exactly what is outlined in this. And the media is doing exactly what is being outlined. You criticize only one side. You make one side evil. That's what the media does, while you ignore the atrocities of the other side. I had a friend of mine. She asked me, she's like, you know, because she was listening to the show and she's like, hey, you know, do you spend time having to research some of this stuff? And I'm like, you know what? When I prepare for a specific topic, I do. And sometimes I think the normal citizen is not doing this. And so for them, they're not informed of how the left has worked in the past and how it's no different today. And so, you know, I encourage you, if you do listen to this show, do not take our word for it. Go out and do your research and find out and read some of these books and then look at the leftist tactics that they're using today. And you will realize that we are somewhere in this book towards a communist country, because every single time it's taken a path and we're headed into this. And we're going to get into the woke military, which is to me the scariest part of this. Cat Turd tweeted out something, and in his humor, there is genius sometimes with Cat Turd. And he said this, a woke military is a weak military. It's true. Joe Biden this week went out and addressed the nation. Okay. They were able to get him out of his basement. Now, he didn't fail to insert his foot in his mouth like he usually does. This guy has clear signs of dementia. Before I get into what he said about the military and how what transpired after that, because Tucker Carlson made fun of, we'll get into that. But let me show you this video, guys. I don't know if you saw this, Jeremy. But this is Joe Biden addressing the nation. I feel like the world looks at this and they laugh. Watch this.
Just want to thank you both. And I want to thank former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there. I want to make sure we thank the secretary.
Listen to what he's talking.
Yeah. Keep listening to this. Not only is it a snooze fest, because I've already fallen asleep, but it's full of gaps. So let me rewind it a little bit and just let you we have to watch this, folks, because this is the guy who has 80 million views. Fuck out of here.
80 million votes.
80 votes. Million votes. Sorry, yeah. Votes.
And he's got the codes to the nuclear weapons.
Exactly. All right. 80 million votes. This is our president.
The secretary, for all he's done to try to implement what we just talked about, and for recommending these two women for promotion. Thank you all. May God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
So, as to appear as a more woke president. He's appointed women. This is their goal. This is their goal, to have women, regardless of are you fit? Are you fit to serve? No. Our goal is to have more women. Okay, so. And, you know, like I said, he's obviously showing clear signs of dementia. So in the same speech, in an attempt to, again, appear the most woke president, he mentioned his efforts to change the culture of the military so that women don't leave the military. OK, so what was his solution? I'm not kidding you. I'm going to play this. But what would you think is his solution, Jeremy, a wild guess, to appear more woke, aside from putting more women in the military? What would you say is the thing he could have done?
Child care? I don't know.
You're very close. Let me tell you what he did. Designing body armor such as maternity flight suits. Let me play this, Jeremy. This is the idiocy in this. I'm going to play this. I am not making this shit up. This is our president, and this is our current military.
Some of it's relatively straightforward work, where we're making good progress designing body armor that fits women properly, tailoring combat uniforms for women, creating maternity flight suits, updating requirements for their hairstyle. And some of it is going to take I guess
you're allowed to have spiky blue hair now.
To really change the culture.
No, it's
this is sad. This is coming from I didn't serve in the military, but I look at this as an outsider referring to the military, and I just think weakness. I don't know, Heidi. What do you think? Somebody who served.
Well,
it's embarrassing. Embarrassing. It's humiliating. The hairstyle thing is because your hair is supposed to be high and tight. Whether you're a man or a woman, it should be high and tight. So if you're a woman and you choose to have long hair, fine. Keep it off your collar. Pull it up in a bun. Pull it up in whatever. It's supposed to be high and tight. There is an image to uphold.
What's the reasoning behind that? What's the reason for high and tight?
Because other than just it being a clean look. Okay. You're out on the battlefield. First of all, let's back it up. A street fight between two young women, right? Because it will apply both ways. Women, if you have longer hair and you're going into a street fight, you don't want your hair easily accessible to be grabbed hold of, to hold you down, to pin you down, to make you weak, right? Yeah. Okay. Same concept with the military.
I like it.
So with the military, you want your hair up off your, it needs to be high and tight, it needs to be out of the way, because it's just as easy for you to be in the middle of a war situation and you're wiping your hair out of your eyes. You're pulling your hair back. Another great one. G.I. Jane. You ever remember watching G.I. Jane Demi Moore? Oh, excellent movie. Yeah. Right. What'd she do? She goes, so she's working. She's got long hair. She's got long hair in when she goes in. She's an officer, right? And they're going to give it a whirl and see how women do in the military. So they go.
The SEALs.
And SEALs, right. So they're looking at the state officials and the government of people and everybody who's trying to make a statement with this young woman, right? So they're looking through all the pictures and they're going, no, we don't like her. Well, why didn't they like the one woman? Because she looked too masculine. They didn't want a muscle-bound woman. So they wiped her aside. Then they picked another one. Oh, that one was too pretty, too perfect, model-y, pretty. So they wiped that one away and they found this beautiful, like normal, natural, beautiful woman who's Demi Moore, who now, you know, she's straight. Oh, they had to be straight. There was one that was a lesbian. That wasn't going to work. So here she is. She's a straight woman. She's got a boyfriend or a husband, whatever. And she's got nice hair and she pulls it up in her bun. She's got a great career field. I think she was an intelligence officer or something. Well, when she starts the training, as she's starting the training, everything she goes out to do, her hair keeps falling out of its perfect high and tight bun into her face. So like she's doing push-ups in the ocean and her hair is falling out of its place and it's in her face and it's preventing her from breathing, whatever. So she goes in, she shaves her head.
Okay.
So that she can go back and compete against these men. And I mean, there's other things, right? Same concept. When I went into the military, right before I shipped out for boot camp, I was not going to deal with having 7 minutes to get ready in the morning and worry about my fucking hair. So I cut it all off. I mean, It was a boycott. Cut it all off.
Yeah.
Because it needed to be clean. It needed to be high, tight, out of my way. I needed to be able to go and do a job, right?
So the idea of women in combat is relatively new, right?
Yeah.
So
over the, 20 years?
The women who go or enlist for, how do you get your job? The ones that choose to go into a combat role.
So not, you don't necessarily choose to go into combat role. So there were people in my group that didn't test high enough to be assigned a job. So like when I went into the boot camp, my test scores gave me an open option and I got to pick from a variety of jobs. And of those jobs, I chose which one that met what I was looking for. There were women with me that didn't test high and they were told they were going in the military. Like they said, I'm going, I don't care. And then during tech school or boot camp, they got assigned into Air Force's equivalent of like the police and MPs and some of those more on the ground.
Heidi, let me ask you
jobs.
A question. And I could be wrong here. So, but you know, the culture of the military, my understanding is that the military is one of those institutions that has hierarchy, right? You know, leadership, you follow orders. The idea of the individual, your uniqueness is kind of not necessarily to a certain extent thrown out the window because now you follow orders. And so I think the culture is you don't stand out. You are a part of a unit of people. Right. And so and I think this is why the whole don't ask, don't tell was enforced, because, you know, you didn't want to know, you know, people's sexual orientation and none of that shit, because it distracts from the ultimate goal of the military. Right. And so I think but see, for the left, being woke is more important than having a strong, ready military. So what is your opinion on that? Because to me, this is where the left, I feel, doesn't understand that the military is not a place for your uniqueness, right? If you want to do that outside. Right. You are serving a purpose. Right.
But you're missing
But the military is, so Obama's administration started to destroy this. Some of it during Clinton, Bush had their parts
longer before than anybody
and
realized.
Obama too. But it started back when I went in, it was being kind of crushed and changed. When my mom went into the military, she got pregnant with me. When she got pregnant with me, she had to make a decision because she didn't, you know, they didn't have uniforms. They didn't have my dad was told if we wanted to have you a family, we would have issued it to you. Period. My mom, same thing. If we wanted you to have a family, we would have issued it to you. Because we didn't go into the military. You don't go into the military, to your point, to live the life of luxury or to have your choices and options. That's not your priority. Your priority is to defend the Constitution and to do as you are told by the commander in chief. And for those who don't know, the commander in chief is the president of the United States. And that's the point of you going in and serving. And if you compare the United States military to some of the others, like the French military, the Israeli military, first of all, you go in and you serve immediately out of school. 18. You don't get a choice.
I think
it's a great
finished
idea. Your early education, so to speak, and then you go and you have a period of time that you are going to serve your country. And there's a lot to be said about that.
Tim, I know you said we're missing the broader point. What is the broader point?
So think about this, right? I mean, we keep talking about, you know, the wokeness, but how does the wokeness start, right? In my eyes, there's been for decades now, and it's documented. Go back to the 90s. China had a plan. They had a plan to infiltrate the U.S., but not by military, because that's just not a good idea. How do you infiltrate the U.S.? You, like Swalwell, you know, you blackmail these politicians. You have money. So what do you tell the politicians? Hey, we're going to make you and your family rich. So now they buy off people, but then they start bringing their principles. So how do you stop? How does China help weaken America? You get the politicians, they pass the laws. You get the generals, you get this, you get that. You weaken the whole U.S. infrastructure from within, because one side controls it all. Let's be real. One side controls it all. When you look at education, who controls education?
Government.
And who mostly teachers? Liberals, the unions. You infiltrate right. that. Okay? I believe Afghanistan, and the more you start realizing this and you start digging deep and you see different articles being posted and, you know, different sysops, why was Afghanistan so important?
For who?
Opiates. For the U.S. Okay. Why was Afghanistan? Were we really trying to find bin Laden when they knew he was in fucking Pakistan probably most of the time? There was opium. Opiates. One of the largest opiate fields were coming from Afghanistan. Like, they literally had, you know, cause I had family that were MPs in the military, you know, for the army. And when they used to do drug raids, they used to go burn all the different weed farms and everything. But they actually had in the fields, they had, oh, this is for visor. And they had like a visor, like, do not visor, burn this yeah. as because these were for all the medical and it was all the opium. So what happened right after 9/11? The opiates started going up. When you start putting kids, all of a sudden, every kid started developing, oh, he's ADHD, he's this, he's that. And they kept giving him opiates. So now you weakened a whole generation of kids that now want to decide to go in the military or do whatever. You weakened them by giving them, you altered their personality.
The military won't take you if you've taken those as a child, by the way, not in the United States.
Well, hold on, because this is something else that Biden just did. Biden is changing requirements for the military. One of the things that he changed was the fitness requirements. They're no longer going to do those fitness tests because guess what? Yeah. Why? Women were failing it. More than 50% of women were failing these tests. And they
and that's what I was trying to get to. That was before.
But he's getting rid of that. And so, like Tim says, to Tim's point, they're weakening our military because they're going to be there polishing their nails, wondering what gender they are that day instead of how do we protect the country. I'm sorry to say it this way, but this is what's happening. Now, Tucker Carlson comes out, right? And he you know, Tucker Carlson is who he is. He mocks Biden's speech talking about you know, maternity flight suits. And you know, he questions the idea of having pregnant women in the military. And guess what happens? And this was what Tim was messaging us about. He certain military commanders on
generals on official
Twitter accounts went after this journalist. Now, think about the history of the military. There's something that happens every single time. Whenever you see the State of a Union address, you will see the 9 judges never applaud, and the military personnel are the same. There's a tradition that's been going on, right? Because they try to remain outside of politics, not Biden's generals. They have now gone full in, and this is the scary part about it, and this is what Tim was talking about there may not be a 2024, folks, because it's scary at the rate that it's moving. We are month 2 of Biden being in power, and we're seeing this shit, this overt, like, to me, I would say maybe no, they're moving full speed ahead, and we're going to talk about the guns, you know, the law that is now at the Senate, but we'll get there. But I want to show you military leaders target Tucker Carlson. This is scary.
Yeah. This is scary because, again, generals sitting on intel committees, you know, I believe this one is one of the ones that sits on the, you know, like the U.S. Cybersecurity Council. You know, this is dangerous. They have access to everything. If people don't believe that they are hunting and targeting conservatives, you know, people bring up a good point that nobody in the media talks about, even on the right. Real quick, before you play this video.
I'm not playing. I'm just showing you the headline. U.S. military's leaders target Tucker Carlson. Folks, this is scary. Go ahead, Tim.
So when I say they're targeting, that the January 6th insurrectionist fucking movement that they keep going with, So all those Capitol rioters that stormed the Capitol, that they find and they arrest. And this is documented. And I did a little research, but not you know, I didn't dig deep. You know, I've seen other people paraphrase it that are lawyers that actually know what the fuck they're talking about. So like Mike Cernovich, he brings up good points. He's like, guys, he's like, when you talk, when people say gulags and everything, they're here. The January 6th crew is the first ones because they have been arrested and we have due process. They have been detained without trial so far. And what's going to happen is there's not enough evidence to say that there was no weapons involved. So they're going to get them on a misdemeanor that probably they would do jail for maybe 10 to 15 days or whatnot. So
already serving.
Right.
So
they've been detained in federal prison. Okay.
For 2 months.
For almost a month, about a month, month and a half. Still have yet to go to trial. They're going to get a misdemeanor for less than the time they've already been in prison. So they are now sitting in federal prison without, ooh, granted, what they shouldn't have done it, but what they're doing is holding conservatives now. And now you're going to get a misdemeanor and now your name's tarnished. So when you go to fill out a job, it's going to be like, oh, I have to fill out a misdemeanor. What do you do? Storm the Capitol.
I'm sorry, but let's go back to what did they do wrong? The building is a public, it is a building that allows public.
Regardless of that. I want to say this because we have to mention this. Look, like Tim says, was it foolish to do that? Yes. Yes. Okay. Use violence and okay. Now, but here is why this and how the left works, folks. Because one side has been burning cities for a whole year now or longer. There's no prosecution. There is no arrest. There's nothing. Nothing is happening. So the laws are there, but they're only applied to their enemies. And so when we say, yes, they should go after them, we mean they should go after everybody. But they're not doing that. And so to me, when you're not applying the law, the rule of law, as you should, and prosecuting every criminal, then you obviously have an agenda and you have a so something's going to happen. Something's going to end up going to have to give. And to me, this week's display by the military commanders and an official tweet came out. What was that? What was the account that said, hey, you know what? We may have fucked up. Basically, this Twitter account from military generals came out saying, "Look, we might fucked up, and we're gonna change what we're doing." Somebody finally got the reins of this shit because again, generals are tweeting out against Tucker Carlson. This is scary, bro. Like when you have the U.S. military, the strongest military, targeting a citizen of the United States, a journalist, nonetheless. This is scary. Okay. So then they realize we may have played our card too quickly. Retract. And so they said they were going to take some steps to change that.
Right. But now what does this prove, Heidi? You've been in the military, big military background. What does this prove? The military just proved by this segment. And, you know, again, Tucker, that when you first saw that segment, you were like, what? What? Why was this even? What was the point of Tucker going after this segment? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't even seem like it was newsworthy. You know what I mean? It was some dumb shit. But he did a very intense segment on this, or lengthy segment, and look at what it drew out. Mm-hmm. You now just got shown, again, the hand. They showed you the hand, and everybody just brushed it off. When the military has now proven, you know, when these generals say, Tucker Carlson, you're wrong. You just proved that you are no longer defending the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
That you swore an oath to protect. You swore an oath to protect all the people from foreign and domestic threats, whatever.
So what I want to say is this, is that, see, to me, this display that just happened this week reveals the long-standing question. Okay, which is the debate that we've been having. Should regular citizens be able to buy let's say, an Abrams tank or something, right? We've had this, you know, people are saying, well, you know, a regular citizen, the answer is yes. If they can afford it, yes. Now, and so, and I'll tell you why, because this is, to me, look, Alexander de Tocqueville, I think was his name. We talked about this before. Came and looked at the country and was trying to figure out what makes America unique. How did America become so great in such a short period of time? And he, you know, talked about the America's religious convictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if we look at it today, and this quote has been said many times, America will be hard to invade or may not be able to invade because there's a weapon behind every blade of grass. Now, this is why the Democrats always, and now even more than ever, try to infringe on the Second Amendment, because a weak citizenry is easy to control. And so, like, again, wake up. We need to wake up and we need to say, look, there is a need for this. I'm all for ending this bullshit. And if it comes down to where the regular citizen has to overthrow the government, thank God the founding fathers put that in our Constitution, because sometimes it becomes necessary in the Declaration of Independence. Sometimes it becomes necessary for the citizenry to do the necessary to overthrow people who have too much power and try to control, because this is where it's headed, folks. We look at it right now. And look, another thing that's that we're not seeing. I mean, when I say we, I mean collectively as a society. Google and social media giants have become now another leg of the Democratic Party. We've said this over and over again. If you search a Google of mass shooting. Search. If you search this, I challenge you to do this. Mass shooting search. It's going to reveal that the search giant is manipulating the results to drive a certain narrative. And what the narrative is that, hey, there's too many guns out there. That's why there's an increase in mass shootings. What they fail to say is that these laws are not getting enforced or are getting enforced one-sided, right? Because Antifa can run havoc in cities and they don't do anything. Like, you would think, like they solve the whole Capitol case within days. Solved. And you're telling me you can't capture these Antifa people who've been who've been tormenting the city of Seattle and Portland for the last year? You see what I'm saying? Like, this is we have to be honest about this.
Well, and now think about it. Think about this, because I know Heidi's got some points. I know she's got something brewing here. So which is good. I see you writing notes down.
I'm writing on.
I see you writing notes.
I thought you were calling her a witch.
So this is what people forget. This is like the biggest mind fuck that I've ever seen, because they arrest them in Portland and Seattle. They arrest them and they release them like 5 minutes later with nothing.
Right.
Oh, you punched a cop in the face and stabbed him? Ah, nothing. You know what I mean? You get arrested, and then the DA made these rules where it's like, oh, we're not going to prosecute them. As soon as they come in, they post bail that, you know, Kamala Harris and all her fucking cronies paid for, you know, to bail everybody out. Oh, you're out in 15 minutes. Then you go right back to jail because they arrest you. It's like the biggest game of cat. It's like Tom and Jerry. You know what I mean? And it's tolerated because the citizenry looks at this and goes, well, they're fighting a good cause because there are problems, or other people are just turning a blind eye to it and going, fuck it. As long as they're not coming to my neighborhood, I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? And the people have caused the problem. The people that allow this shit to happen are the problem.
So is it where do you draw that line? Is it the people that
it's too late?
Is it the attorney general that's
now
not processing them? Is that who we blame? And do we elect him or are they elected?
So the reason why I say it's too late, for the simple fact, for decades now, the the term conservative. We take the high road and we get them at the election and we do things diplomatically, you know, we do everything.
Yeah.
And we did this for years. But that's what they told conservatives to do. Okay. It's almost like they told them, don't go to their level, be above them. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, by doing that, we surrendered everything. And when I say we, because, you know, they we talked about this media. Okay. And during the '70s, we said, screw it, you know, give them that. Okay. Education. Screw it. Give them that. You know, big tech. Screw it. Give them that. This is where I get frustrated because we've all said this. We're all very intelligent people. We're great at what we do. But what is the one thing we all said we never wanted to do in our careers? We never wanted to go into management, right? Because we don't want to be leaders. We like doing this and we don't want to play the political game, blah, blah, blah. But take that times thousands. But then what happened? They promote these bloodthirsty, evil people to be leaders. And then they become our bosses. And we're going, these people are so jacked up. Why are they even in power position? Well, because the guy above him did the same thing. So now you have everybody in a line and they look at people that think differently. They don't like that. But we as people caused it because we do not want to take the steps to put ourselves in positions. Cause we say, oh, somebody else should go, you know, try to run a company or something like that.
So
you
I'll
know,
you
or
this.
Be a manager and lead a team. It's our own fault.
You're right. To your point. I this week I'm at work and I get an email from a company that shall remain unnamed. So I'm at work and I get an email. and the email talks about diversity, equity, and I forgot what else, something that starts with an I.
Inclusion.
Yeah, exactly. Inclusivity. Okay. So from there is an effort that's trying to be made for this. Now, you know, the regular person who is not hasn't stayed up to date to what, you know, is going on out there, especially with the woke left, looks at that. And that's just another word. Right. But the left has used this word. So what is equity? And so you think, well, it sounds very similar to equality, but it's not equality, because equality, it means you treat everybody the same. Okay. What is equity? Okay. Equity means this, I'm not kidding with you guys. Equity means you treat the quote unquote lower races, Hispanics, blacks, everything that's non-white, better than you would a white person. Meaning you elevate this. I'm not kidding with you folks. This is the goddamn truth. And this has now infiltrated corporate America. This has gone mainstream. These ideas, these leftist ideas have roots. They have their claws in this shit. And so I read that and I get so angry, because for the listener who doesn't know, I'm Hispanic. And according to
what?
And according to
you fucking we're bro. Canceled. I'm canceling you. You're canceled.
Done.
No,
I've had it with you. You're canceled.
And according to Ancestry.com, I'm 10% black. Okay.
What?
Because race matters.
Now I'm really gone.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So.
Jesus.
Oh really, Heidi? That's the one thing you laugh at this whole time.
it's my dipshit husband on the end of the table. Instead of looking at this as the opportunity for you to say, all he has to do now is wear the right panties, pull it up behind him, and you can pretend like you have a transgender relationship with him.
We're done.
And now you've got Mexican black infiltration in your transgender. You're in the clear, dude. You need to start looking at this.
You went way too woke on
that.
Wow.
I'm just trying to. I'm trying to keep it back.
Anyway, so look, this is coming from somebody who is quote unquote minority for the sake of the argument. Okay. Now, when I read that, I'm offended. And I'll tell you why. I'm literally honestly offended. And I'll tell you why. Because offended apparently has currency today. Being offended, oh shit, we got to pay attention. But you know why this offends me? Because we were propagating the idea that white is supreme, because I need the help of the white man in order to move ahead in life. So while the left is trying to level the playing field, quote unquote, what they're actually saying and what they're admitting is that, hey, minorities, you can't get ahead unless you get the white man's help. That's what they're saying. And so I look at that and I look at this diversity, equity and inclusion fucking department. And I say, you guys are fucking bullshit. I hate this. I don't want this. I don't need this. To me, it's insulting because look, think about it this way. So when you were in grade school and you're getting picked to be on a team, remember how they used to do that? They'd be like, pick two captains. Oh, yeah. And now I got to pick the fat kid because, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel sorry for him and I'm going to get more points. This is what we're saying. So now the fat kid is like, literally, okay, well, the only reason you picked me was because he's going to get more points because he picked me. Not because I have skills, not because I'm capable. That's what we're telling society today, is that equity means you pick the fat kid because, or else you're a dick.
You know, and this is what I find really interesting. No, I like that analogy because it's so true. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you
don't, it is true. Saul is a dick.
You don't pick the weakest kid first on the team. You pick the best. And the weak one gets picked last because that's kind of like, oh shit, he's there and we have to include him. But to this, this is what gets me. This is what gets me. We were told Aunt Jemima no good, Uncle Ben no good, Betty, Mrs. Butters, you know, all these things were no good because they promoted racism and everything.
Right.
But what people don't understand is when those faces got put on a box, you know, 40, 50 years ago, that was a big step forward because now when you're in the store and you go, wow, they look, you know, what they say now, wow, that person, they look like that. I look like them. Right. So there's representation. No, when they mean being, when they say that it's about color. Right. You know, so there's representation of heritage. So what they decided to do was say it's no good. But what they kept was Little Debbie, Wendy's, all the white faces still stay on boxes. Why? Right. If you're going to cancel it, cancel it all. Take away all representation. No. Right. I'm being serious. If you're going to say no good here,
but okay,
take the white people out.
Let me ask you a question.
Take the white people out.
You're missing the grooming of this whole situation.
I want to ask you a question, Tim. Do you think that the left went so woke that they accidentally abolished black people from products?
No, that was their plan. This woke shit.
Because look, what is that famous quote? No good deed goes unpunished. Do you think do you think it is that? Do you think that they had good intentions and they just fucked up? Like, or the other quote, what is that idiom? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So here we are. They had good intentions. They were like, well, you know what? Black people are being used to selling a product. Therefore, we're going to get rid of it. And then they find out we got rid of all the black people from the products. And now we just have white people. Oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, do you think they made a mistake or do you think they really intended to remove black people
I firmly believe that they did this on purpose to get rid of all representation, because this is what scares the shit. And fucking everybody needs to go, as much as he was radical, go read Malcolm X's speeches. He calls this out to a T. He says the devils. Biggest threat to black folk is specifically the white liberal. Mm-hmm. The white liberal is the biggest threat because they say that they're here to help you, but they're really just doing shit to keep you down. And then what they do is they put a face behind what they're saying so that they go, okay, he's speaking for it. It's good. But everything about this, I'm sorry. Look at it all. They spent the year saying, we're going to fix problems and everything. Biden's been in office for less than 60 days. What has he done for BLM and other people of color? He spent more time saying, come over the border, and infiltrated the whole border. But that's not helping American citizens that are minorities. That's helping
By the way, illegals, for our listeners, there's a crisis at the border right now. That is
big, and nobody knows about it.
And nobody knows about it. This is, look, something happens when you promise. And what I saw, because I watched the Spanish news, you know, and the Spanish news, they interview the people who are waiting on the other side, and they're like, "Well, Biden promised us." This is how they talk. Biden promises that he was going to let us in. What the fuck? To me, I hate that attitude because it's like a demand. Like, nobody owes you shit. What the fuck?
I hate that idea.
But this is what we're creating. These people come here and look, I always tell this to my white friends. I say, wake the fuck up. You know, I'm out here in Pennsylvania where it's less than 1% of Hispanics are out here. So we are so far removed from the crisis at the border. But I grew up in Arizona, and there's something that's happening. There's a transition that happened because before, people would come here and they would have a love for the country. I'm not seeing that today, folks. I promise you that these people are waving their Mexican, their Guatemalan, their other flags to the country that they moved to. This should scare you. This should wake you up. These people don't have a loyalty to the country. They're here to take advantage. And I'm saying this as a Hispanic. I'm telling you, I hear their conversations. I've heard, for the listener, I was at a department store looking for some clothes. Kid comes to his mom, says, "Mom," brings a Polish shirt that has the American flag. "Mom, give me this." In Spanish, this woman says this: "Get that shit out of my face and bring me something with the Mexican flag." I promise you, folks, these people do not have the patriotism for the love for your country. This is an invasion. And because it's happening so rapidly, and because people can't say it, because it's racist, but I can't be racist because I'm brown. I share these people's skin color, but I don't share their values. I promise you, folks, there is an invasion that is happening your country, and you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You need to be more vocal about this, or else your children and your children's children will suffer the consequences of this.
So to finish my point real quick, because there is something about this border that's really interesting. I firmly believe that liberals are the most racist fucking people. They claim that they're good, but it's not. They're doing everything opposite to keep the division, lower it down. They're promoting. Oh, when they're like, "Oh yeah, when in colleges they say we're gonna give all floors to, you know, one type of race," that is segregation. Mm-hmm. That is complete segregation. So everything they fought for in the 60s and the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s to get rid of, in less than 1 year, they brought it back. It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind. Way in Yale, they had only a non-white rock climbing class. What? Yale. You know what I mean? Like, this is insanity. And it's not, I don't give a shit. And you guys know me, I make fun of white people all the time. But bro, like, inclusion, it means include everybody. You know, diversity means include everybody. When you start separating it out, you're creating that division, and it makes people angry on both sides, because you're like, "Oh yeah, fuck white people," and then you get, you know, crazy people, "Oh, screw minority." Like, no, everybody's, but that the United States, everybody can be together. You know what I mean? And we move forward as people, and you know, we move forward. We're going backwards. We're erasing everything that Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, fucking the woman on
Let's
the
be more oh specific.
My God. Rosa Parks.
Let's be more specific, though, which is, yeah, we're going backwards, but the left is taking us backwards.
Saying move forward.
Yeah, the group that's been in power in inner cities for decades, half a century almost, or more, longer.
How's nobody understanding that?
And they're the ones who are leading us back. We always talk about this. We have nostalgia for the 80s because we love the 80s. And apparently Hollywood does too, because they keep going back to the 80s, because the 80s was the golden age of, you know, everybody You know what I mean? Like I think if
even cocaine was great in the '80s.
I think if we would have just continued, you know, the advancements that we had made in the '80s, we would be in a better place. But the left didn't want that to happen. The left needed the division. I think that to me, the '80s was the transition point when people started turning the corner and being like, you know what? Cool. We like, you know, Eddie Murphy. We like, you know, how many black celebrities were out there that everybody enjoyed? Now I can't. This is the honest truth. I cannot watch a comedian today that has the woke. I can't. They're not fucking funny. And even those comedians from back then, they can't even say jokes anymore. Seinfeld recently had a freaking thing that he was talking about. He's like, I can't say the jokes that I said, you know, back when I was doing my show. This is where we live on at today, folks. The left is regressive. They have taken us backwards. In their wokeness, they have removed blacks from everywhere, and they are now segregating. Like Tim says, they are making segregation, and they have sold it to the black community as if this is what you want. You want black only this. It's like, wait, black? All we need today is, oh, these are black bathrooms. And people are going to be like, wait, what the fuck? This is weird.
My thing is, I include everybody in my life. I have a very big, diverse group of friends, right? And I said it even on the show. Went to St. Thomas. I was the only quote unquote Caucasian there. Technically, if I have to fill out a form, people can be like, you're Caucasian. I like the Indian. You're Caucasian. Italians are Caucasian. Okay, whatever. So I'm the only one. I'm the only Caucasian there, right? Everybody else, Hispanic, black. That's it. And we all got along. We laugh. That's what scares the shit out of people. And me and Saul.
Why?
Because when everybody's united together, you can't divide a united front. Yeah. When people are united like this, and I've always talked about this, when you look, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, in the 90s, we hit that peak of everybody was coming together. People loved hip hop. Like everybody was starting to gel. Everybody can coexist. Nobody looked at people, you know, oh my God, you're like, nobody was starting to look at color. And then all of a sudden, like everything from 2000 all the way down, you started seeing a different trend because what happened? They instilled fear in everybody with 9/11. I'm sorry. I'm not saying how they brought it down. I'm not going into that conspiracy there. But after 9/11, all you heard in this country for decades, everybody was moving towards happiness and unity, and everybody was getting along, and everybody, there was more love in this country. And then 2001 happened. What happened in 2001? Oh, a bunch of Arab, you know, a bunch of terrorists from the Middle East blew up the fucking trade towers. Great. Now we got to go to war. And then every day, once a week, you had fucking Donald Rumsfeld. People forget about this. I don't know when, but I don't know where, but we have significant proof that they're plotting another terrorist attack on the U.S. So everybody started getting putting on edge. Then they started banning songs. And then what did the people do? The first mistake the people did when they go, we're going to implement the Patriot Act. And people are like, yeah, we need to do that. You fucked up, sir. You, as a society, that's why I say we, the people, allowed this shit to happen. The Patriot Act was the start of it. That was the start. And it hasn't ended. And then
it will never end.
Right. But once you give the government power, they will never give it back.
Yeah.
And even when Obama said, we're going to not reinitiate, you know, we're not going to extend it. We're not going to renew it. But, oh, we're not going to renew these three things, but we're going to keep this part. And that was like the fucked up part, you know?
The one thing I've realized and kind of to Tim's point here, 2020 was a completely fucked up year. And it is a great example of what happens when you let the government make decisions for you.
Yep.
This whole 2020 and even the beginning of 2021, it's all destroyed. It's definitely changed everyone's life
to
the worst. Not for the better, but for the worst.
Yep.
And it is all because the government decided they knew better than the people did. This is what happens when you let the government make decisions for you. They fuck it up.
And now,
do not blame COVID for this. Do not blame
any racists for this. Don't blame Antifa for this. It is the fucking government getting involved in citizens' day-to-day lives. That is what caused 2020.
And now, what into 2021, the government has now given, and I've talked about this, the government will never come out and say that we're going to take away everything. We're going to allow the big corporations now to dictate what is allowed and not allowed, because we're going to say it's because of capitalism. Case in point, I went to the Apple store over the weekend. Apple store, you need to wear a mask like every other store. There was a guy, and I was texting Nelson, and I recorded
it. I like this video.
And I recorded it. The guy, as soon as I pulled up, because like I was there and I had to come back because my appointment was after breakfast and everything. So I ran around, did some errands. I come back. As I pull in, I see this guy outside the Apple store. He's got a Trump sweatshirt on, 45 Trump, Trump hat, red sneakers. I'm like, oh. And I see him arguing with the security guard. I already knew what it was. And he's out there and I'm like, oh, shit. So I get online, right? And I'm trying to listen. I'm here hustling, right? And basically what happened was he didn't want to wear a mask. And he's arguing with the security guard saying, look, I have a medical, whether he did or not, I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I have a medical condition. No, store policy. And the guy would not. And the guy was on the sidewalk. He's like, you need to wear a mask right now. He's like, I'm outside. I'm not wearing a fucking mask. And the security guard apparently, like, put his hands on him to move him away. Ooh. You're outside. Shit. So the guy, oh, shit. So he calls the cops. I want to place a complaint. You know, the cops showed up, took his statement and the security guard statement and everything. Of course, they weren't. He's like, I want press charges on the guy. Cops like, I'm not doing that because he did nothing wrong. But I'm like, wait a minute. He put a security guard on non-Apple property. He wasn't Scottsdale Quarter. You know, maybe he was a security guard for Scott, but this guy's always at the Apple store. So I'm pretty sure he's the Apple, you know.
Yeah.
He's Ally Barton for that company, you know, for Apple. And because Scottsdale Quarters, I saw their security company, they have their own shirts. But apparently, because Scottsdale Quarters is private road, private, it's all private, right? The streets are private.
Yeah.
But the city of Scottsdale cleans it up, you know, does some stuff there. But so the cops are like, well, this is private property. So what happened was they wound up telling the guy he's got to leave Scottsdale Quarter now. But he's like, look, everybody here walking around without a mask. I'm outside. Why? Because I asked the guy, I said, did you go try to walk in? Because I started talking to the guy. He's like, no, I have not. I said, because if you walk in the store and cause a scene, I said, now you fucked up. Because Apple store policy, their store policy is their store policy. You're choosing to go in there and they have their rules. If you do not,
but
escort you out.
No, they can't.
Yes, they can.
Not if you click. So if you walk into the Apple store and you and someone.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know.
Let's talk through this. You walk into the Apple store without wearing a mask, and one of the associates walks up to you and says, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you have to put on the mask. And you say, well, I have a medical condition. I can't wear a mask. And they say, well, no, it doesn't matter. You have to stop there and go, look, here's the deal. The Americans with Disabilities Act says you cannot discriminate against me based on the fact of my medical condition. Now, if you came in there with your dick hanging out, cussing up a storm, that's a different story. But if you walk
that's
into
what
there,
well, that, he had that whole
out. No, no, no.
On the table.
Okay. But what I'm saying is if you walk in and you calmly specify to this person that, hey, I have a medical condition, I can't do this. And they say, well, no, it doesn't matter. Then you need to clarify. Are you telling me I cannot be, you are asking me to leave strictly? Hold on. You have to say, you're telling me I have to leave strictly based on my medical condition. And if they say yes, then you're done. They're done. You have every step covered, because now they are infringing strictly upon your medical condition.
It's their store and they have the right to do it the way they want.
The federal government has decided that you cannot discriminate on your own private property against people with medical conditions.
Because they're quoting a pandemic, now they're saying the stores, you're violating their policy. If they say, I don't care about that act, you push them out and they will take up the court. And but the courts,
I have a policy that says you can't come in here in a wheelchair. My building is not handicap accessible, so you can't come into my building if you're in a wheelchair.
I'm not a lawyer.
Do you think that would fly for more than 2.5 seconds?
But the moral of the story is the cops took Apple's side. Okay. They made the guy leave Scottsdale Quarter because they're like, oh, now Scottsdale Quarter wants you off the premise because you caused the scene.
Yep. What?
Yeah. Like,
that's what,
that's what you're you failing to realize, Jeremy, is you're not.
I'm not.
So
I'm,
if what he's saying is,
I told you, you have to get them to admit that the only reason why they are asking you to leave is because of your medical condition. They cannot do that by federal law. If, like I said, if you come in there screaming, you know, flinging things around, that is a different story. They're asking you to leave for a different reason.
But he didn't even make it in the store. He's on the site. So Apple does not let you into the store without an appointment. Sure. Right. So we're all lined up like sheep. Right. And the guy comes around
and the security guard who is working for the private property.
Yeah.
They cannot discriminate against you for that.
Well, you're not going to do anything about it. And neither is anybody else. So they do get to discriminate. So
I've been listening to this whole thing and I'm gonna say this. Look, here's the truth. This guy is the William Wallace of our time. He should be celebrated. He has courage that many of us don't have. That's the God honest truth, folks. Because we can sit here and talk about we have all this fucking courage and blah blah blah. This man is doing it. And if more conservatives did that, this shit would end today. And that's the God honest truth. It is. If more of us stood our ground and refused to play the left's stupid game, because it is a stupid game, this mask bullshit is bullshit. It's dumb. Anybody who's continuing to think that you need this is an idiot. I'm sorry, folks. I don't respect you if you believe this. I just don't. And for any conservative who is out there and saying, well, you know what, maybe... No, because we all need to be doing this. We all need to stand our ground. And this shit would end today. It's the God and the truth. But, you know, conservative, we don't want to make waves. We want to remain civil. Meanwhile, society is unraveling. And this is where we are. This is the God and the truth. I don't know how else to put it. I applaud this man. I wish every one of us had that same courage that he has to stand up against stupidity, because honestly, it is stupid. Anybody who is still wearing I think Tim sends me this video of a woman who is freaking hitting people in public. The people are in public not wearing a mask, and this woman is confronting them and freaking literally assaulting them for not wearing a mask. Meanwhile, she's wearing like 2-3 masks, and the people are looking at her and telling her, don't be out in public if you're that scared. But see, it's not about the truth. It's about control. It's about a virtual signaling. It's about pointing at people and being like, you don't care about people. Fuck out of here. I'm done. We are playing a game to remain civil while society is unraveling. This is the God honest truth, folks. And if we don't stand up, we're going to lose it. All right. We're gonna move on to the next subject. Now this subject, I don't know if I want to touch it because shit. I think it's just it's just another one of those things that it's the decay of society. For a long time, churches have played a role. I mean, whether or not we want to admit it, the country was founded by religious people. It was who were adamant about their beliefs. You know, specifically Christians who founded the country. Again, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, no. Well, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Western civilization has been possible because people had certain convictions about a creator who wanted us to be free. And that right now is being, is slowly. Well, you know what? What was this? I think. Look, I'll tell you this. I was shocked when I heard that, because look, I don't know how many of you guys grew up religious. I did. And I remember being in church and hearing about the end times and how, you know, this is the things that are going to happen before the end times. And yet when COVID hit, which was not a pandemic, folks, it really wasn't. If it was, bodies would have been dropping everywhere. That's what a pandemic is. Bodies dropping everywhere. That's not what happened. Even though Biden liked to say, oh, 500,000 people died. It is a drop in an ocean of population. It is. I'm sorry to put it that way, but we have to have perspective. Okay? This is what it is. There's more things that kill more people than this. This wasn't what we were told. It's a fucking lie. Okay? So.
Big fucking lie.
Big fucking lie. So here we are. And the group of people who I would have thought, oh, they're going to see this. They're going to recognize this as the end times. Oh, no, they didn't. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. And they said everybody stayed home. And I'm like listening to this. And I'm like, what? So let me present to you this. Tim sends me this. And I'm like, but for the atheist listener, this should worry you. Again, because for a long time, Christians and Jews and people who are religious have been the canary in the coal mine of history's tyrants. It's just the truth. Okay? So let me play to you this video. Jack Posobiec posts this, and we'll talk about it right now. Hold on. Listen to this preacher. Okay? Listen to what he says. Okay? Now, for those of you who don't know the passage in the Bible, I'll try to elaborate a little bit, but I want you to hear what this guy says and his ideas.
Did you know that there's a part of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus uses a racial slur? In Mark chapter 7, there's the account of the Syrophoenician woman, a woman who is Syrian and Greek, both of which there were strong biases against within the Jewish community. And she comes to ask Jesus to heal her daughter who's possessed by a demon. And what is Jesus's response? He says, it's not good for me to give the children's food, meaning the children of Israel's food, to dogs. He calls her a dog. What's amazing about this account is that the woman doesn't back down. She speaks truth to power. She confronts Jesus and says, well, you can think that about me, but even dogs deserve the crumbs from the table. Her boldness and bravery to speak truth to power actually changes Jesus' mind. Jesus repents of his racism and extends healing to this woman's daughter. I love this story because it's a reminder that Jesus is human. He had prejudices and biases, and when confronted with it, he was willing to do his work. And this woman was willing to stand up and speak truth.
Okay. Okay. How to unravel this? Now, again, for the atheist listener.
First, look at the guy's face. The guy looks like he fucking raped a few kids in his life. Okay?
He does like a little Jeffrey Dahmer.
Can we stop playing that card, Timmy? You're wearing out your deck, man. That card.
No, he looks like a creepy fuck with an ice cream truck, okay? That you see in a creepy alley going, you want some candy, little boy? Like, he looks like that. But look at his face. He's like strung out. Like,
I've got puppies and kittens and candy all back in my truck.
He's a beta male. He gets pegged. That's the epitome of a cuck, beta male who gets pegged.
I think the danger in this statement, in this belief, is again, just another piece in the puzzle of the unraveling of Western civilization. Okay, a major role in the advancement of our society, modern society, and our modern liberties was Judeo-Christian values. Okay, and when you destroy that, you destroy the foundation. Okay, some of you may not agree, but this is the God and the truth. There has been no greater society that has been created, civilization, outside of what we have today. Okay, and there's a lot of things that came into play, in my opinion. And one of those was people who had convictions that there was a creator who wanted us to live free. When you destroy that, and when you say that this creator or that Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, was racist, and you put that on him, I think you destroy what we have. Because if Christ was racist, then we need to abolish Christ. And that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. Jesus was racist. Time to start the book burning, folks. This is what's going to come. Because if we don't challenge this, if we don't criticize this, if we don't come out completely against this, we invite the coming destruction of our society. This is wrong. This is a lie.
So to that point, you know, to what, you know, that guy was saying that Jesus was racist and everything. So what he's saying is, so because there's also a big, there's there's the debate, right? Between, yeah. you know, saying that, well, there's beliefs that Jesus was actually black, you know, yeah. and not white. So now what that guy's doing is he's going against what, when he said, you know, because that guy probably said, you know, it's probably got, you know, the LGBTQ flag and the BLM oh, flag yeah. and pretty this sure. and everything. So he's basically countering, he's arguing against the fact that Jesus might be black, right? Right. I'm just, look, I don't give a shit right. about religion. No.
How is he doing that?
Because he's saying Jesus was racist. He was white and racist.
He never said he was white and racist. He said
he's racist, so in their minds, only white people are racist.
Okay.
I'm depicting that video and then talking about talking about the point of there's that debate.
To clarify, people what he's quoting, and just to have context. It's a story. If you look at back then, people who were not Jewish, Gentiles, were considered, there was a term, and it was not derogatory, but it was a term as dogs, right? Meaning that the word of God was specifically for certain people and not meant for other people. Okay. It had nothing to do with race. It was just an analogy. You don't give the main course right. to the dog. You give it to the chosen. Okay. This was what it was. He's taking that out of context and saying that he was calling that woman a dog. Well, meanwhile, Jesus was just challenging her and asking her, what do you think about this idea that the word does not belong to people who are Gentiles? It only belongs to those who are chosen. So, because you got to understand, right? Christ was the Messiah. He was the promised, the Jews had believed for such a long time. And here he is, man made flesh, or God made flesh. And so, look, without getting into religious dogma, and I don't want to get into that. I just want to point out that this is dangerous. What is that analogy? The fox is in the hen house or something like that. What is that?
Yep, that's the one. That's right. Fox is in the hen house.
Yeah, and this was this person has convinced enough people that, hey, you know what? I'm actually on your side. Meanwhile, he's spreading lies. And to me, when people embrace this, that Jesus was a racist, wow. You lose the divinity of Christ. You lose everything that Christianity stands for. And it's the end. I mean, telling you, look, because that's how they're going to be able to say, well, Christianity is racist and we need to abolish it. And so therefore, let's burn all the books. This is coming, folks. This is coming. It's just a matter of time.
This society is getting out of control with this wokeness and Coke is actually, they're trying, the left now is boycotting Coke, by the way. Did you know that?
Because they're too white?
Coke. You want to know why? So remember in Georgia, you know how in Georgia they've been doing, election integrity laws? You know, no, basically, you know, you have to show proof of who you are, signature verification and ID checks for absentee ballots. So okay. Coke, you know, they donated money to that, you know, to that election, you know, committee. You know, they donated money to promote those laws to get put in, place. They donate. I don't know if it was Democrats or Republicans, but they donated that. So they found all the list of sponsors, all the list of companies that donated to people in Georgia that voted for that bill.
Yeah.
So now they were protesting on Saturday at the Capitol and they're saying boycott Coke and all Coke products.
Wow. I find it odd that you would have a private companies donating money for that sort of thing.
Well, what do you mean? So, wait. What do you mean?
Like, why would a private company donate money to pass a law? Right? Well, wouldn't that be considered
lobbying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're saying it goes direct. They're not paying lobbyists to try to convince people to do this.
They donated to those PACs that were supporting those bills to be signed or some shit.
Yeah.
I watched this yesterday, and everything was boycott. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh Jesus!
Yeah,
Coke is trying to be the most woke company, but all what people don't realize is that these corporations lie. These corporations are the ones controlling everything. People, Wake the fuck up. Shop local, buy local, pay cash.
Don't drink Coke.
No, yeah. But even at the so even at the Apple store, real quick, I was talking to the kid, right? And he's talking what do you do? I do IT in a device. I work for XYZ company. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I used to use them all the time and it was great, but then I got this new debit card that has points on it and everything. I said, guy, I was like, pay cash. Man, I think cash is dying. I'm like, oh, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, pay in cash. Cash. When you have digital currency, it's all trackable.
Yeah,
you're tracing it.
And one of the things that
fucking dummies.
Even outside of that, we have transitioned. The society in general has transitioned out of a cash-based economy.
It's bad.
And it's bad because you no longer have tied your work to what you buy. You don't realize that, hey, I went to work for 2 weeks and I got $500 in cash, and that's all I have for 2 weeks, and I need to make sure that I'm spending it on the things that I either really want or really need, or a combination of those two. And it's completely separate now. Money is just something else that happens.
It's fake
because you work.
Money's fake.
It's not. Yeah.
When you get your check, you don't even see the check. You used to get your check, go to the bank. But they say for automation and ease, and it saves the company money because now I don't have to write a check. Mm-hmm. Then they convinced you that direct deposit is such a great thing. Yes. In theory, it's nice when you look, you're like, oh, I got money in my account. But the whole concept of going to the bank, why do you even need a bank?
Right. The tying the two together, right? The hard work that you did equals your rent getting paid or your cell phone bill getting paid.
But even down to this, when you get, real quick, and then we're going to end this. When you get a check from your company for the hours you worked, you went to the bank, you went to the teller. The teller was getting paid for their work. So they cash your check, right? You took a couple dollars off the top and said, okay, I want to put the rest in this account, and this. So somebody was taking your money, getting paid for their service to put it in there. So now when you start taking direct deposit into those tellers are getting less and less, right? That job is going away. You're automating that person out of a job. Now the banks are all starting to close locations and say COVID ruined it all. No, they're consolidating because less people need to go. All you need is an ATM to pull out cash. But most people aren't doing that because everybody is paying with a thing and they're getting rich as fuck on the merchant fees, and nobody realizes it. The biggest detriment to small business, and it's killing them, are the merchant fees because they keep raising it on them. Corporate America, the Apple stores and everything, they can handle it. And that's why they're creating their own pace.
We were
Apple
driving,
Pay, Google Pay, Google Wallets.
We were driving back from Vegas last weekend. And as we were driving through the northern part of Arizona, there's the big gas signs, right? Gas is outrageous.
Yeah.
So on the way back, we were actually needed to buy gas because we weren't going to make it all the way back in town. And so we stopped in Kingman and we pulled off and we bought gas for $2.87 or something, which was like 20, 30 cents cheaper than it was in Phoenix. But while we were driving through, there was a lot of like the truck stops and things like that. They have two different prices on their boards. They have the cash price. So if you come in and give them
smart
cash,
it
was $2.69.
Lot cheaper. Big time
That's what
cheaper
they should do.
Or if you went in with a credit card, it was like it was over $3. It was like 30 plus cents a gallon more to use your credit card. And that's because of those merchant fees.
That's what they should do. Everybody should start doing that. Say, here's the price. If you pay with a card, like have it laid out on their menus. Here's a price if you just pay with cash, and that's how you could tell people from using
years
the card
ago when it wasn't as big. The credit card wasn't as big. They used to have things on the menu that said there will be a 3% charge for credit cards.
Yeah,
but I'm saying they should have
in New York back in the
laid
day
out per item. Say this is your card charge, and this is if you pay cash. They should just do that,
right? But
because people want to save money, and they're like, I'll pay cash. Hell yeah, save. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you... It's a quick win. Yep.
The only way to beat the big boys is you have to take away their revenue stream. And the merchant fee is billions of dollars for these credit card companies that basically tell you, oh, anybody can have credit, 30% interest. And people are like, cash. Cash rules everything around me.
But do you carry cash with you?
Now I do. I started doing it. Yeah.
When? Just recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to do it all the time.
I have a question for everybody, and includes Heidi. Did any of you ever have a paper route or anything when you were a kid?
No.
Not paper route, but I did. I umpired and refereed games and stuff like that. Always cash. It was all cash.
Okay. So when I was a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever it was, I had a paper route, and I guess going back to the direct deposit part of it, when I started doing paper routes, there were other kids that had been doing it longer, and their particular route, they had more people that paid cash mm-hmm. to the paper boy than the newspaper billed them monthly or whatever, right? When mm-hmm. I started, my route, for whatever reason, most of the people actually in my route paid to the newspaper directly. And so then the newspaper would write a check to me. Well, when you're a paper boy and the ones, some of the older boys that were doing it, basically they would go to each house every week and collect their $2 or whatever it was. And then they would have to give money back to the newspaper because there was basically they were collecting for the newspapers that they delivered that they were basically borrowing from the paper, the newspaper mm-hmm. company. And so it was kind of weird that my experiences as far as having jobs, it's always been somebody paying me, and it was typically direct deposit. Now, obviously, as a paper boy, I don't think I had that. I think it was very like right on the edge of what I owed versus what I got paid. So I would get checks for like $2 or $3. And it was just like, because my money was, I would go collect, knock on the door and say, I need my $8 or whatever mm-hmm. for the last 2 weeks. And so it was just super weird how that all works out. And after that, my first job, I worked at a department store, and it was, hey, do you want to do direct deposit? Sure. How do you do that? Well, you need a checking account. Oh, here's a blank check.
It was
right?
just so much easier, right? Because the convenience, because back in the day as a kid, I always had most of my jobs up until I was 16 was all cash. I umpired Little League and softball and refereed football from, the fall all the way into, actually I worked year round. The only time I didn't work was the winter. Okay. And then I landscaped right off the books. I was getting paid cash. So it wasn't until my first job working, doing a summer gig at like for the, like one of the towns, where it was an ADP check. But again, I was getting paid cash. I used to go to the bank because it was right across the street from our park. Boom, cash it, and then go piss the money away. You know what I mean? I was 16 years old, gas and everything. But then it wasn't until I got my first corporate job where direct deposit came into play. But I always, when I worked small business in New York, I would get a check every Friday. I'd walk right down the block to the bank, cash my check, and then on my way home, I would stop. Because we got paid every Friday, I would deposit my money, get take money off a haircut and booze, and call it a day.
If your employer came to your this is back when we'd be in the office, but if your employer had come to your desk a year ago with a paper check and handed to you saying, "Here's your paycheck," you'd be pissed. You're like, "Now I got to go to the fucking bank.
Now it's an inconvenience. Yeah, exactly. I got to go to the bank and I got to do this and everything."
When I got my first this job that I just got, there was a couple weeks because they didn't have a Chase Bank out here. There's no Chase. So I had to open up a bank account, and I didn't realize that. I was like, and they're like, oh shit, they didn't. And then I need to have a check. Cause that's what I need. I'm like, I need to get a check so that I can give it to them so that they can set up the direct deposit. Well, the closest bank is out all the way, downtown Pittsburgh, now out where I'm at. I'm like, oh God. So then I'm like, oh, I might as well just open up a bank account. So I opened up a bank account with PNC Bank. But that first check was an actual physical check, and I was so annoyed by it. I'm like, God, I'm all right, folks, we're gonna leave
again
it,
conditioning
we're gonna leave it there, but as we do everything, we're gonna end it on a happy note. Now we'll see I have no idea what we're gonna watch, but I just YouTube funny TikTok videos, so we'll see what this is. All right. Play this. So I'm as much gonna see this as you guys are, so I don't know what this is.
Laptops be like,
great news, I got 2.5 hours of battery left, enjoy.
Awesome, thanks laptop. But not even 20 minutes later, they're like,
sigh.
That's actually true.
10 people died in the Bronx last night due to a fire that killed 10 people in the Bronx last night during a fire.
Fire officials say all 10 people died due to the fire, which was too hot for their bodies.
What?
Tell me your name without actually telling me your name.
Greg. All right, folks, we'll just leave it there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all or some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Heidi needs to talk more.
Oh.